Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another month of Game of the Month. This month, we're re-releasing an episode from the original run of Game of the Month from back in 2016. This episode features me and Pam as we discuss Doom 2016. Thank you all for tuning in, and enjoy.
Well, thank you, Pam, for joining me here via satellite on the Game of the Month podcast.
From one coast to the other coast.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to hang out and talk to me about a video game.
it's outside of the norm.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I'm having you break character in talking about a video game. I know it's kind of weird for you.
But, I've never played video games before in my life.
So Doom, the new Doom, is our game this month. Now, you played a decent amount of it. Just first impressions, like when you're going through, what came to mind for you?
I'm a very simple person, so honestly, I love the simple gameplay. I love that you're not dragged down by too much story. It's very vague, and I know that a lot of people out there really enjoy a really immersive campaign, but I kind of liked, you know, Doom being the odd man out of modern games where you just go and you're just shooting things. You don't really, and you're advancing and you're getting new weapons and upgrades, and you know, it was very simple and very much what I needed at this time in my gaming career.
Oh, absolutely. No, I totally agree. Is that I wanted a game. I wanted to play Doom again, and yeah. When I saw a new Doom was coming out, and I was hoping that they wouldn't overdo it, because it's like when Duke Nukem came out,
yeah,
the new Duke Nukem, and everybody, you know, the hype was there. Everybody was so expecting this super game, and everybody was disappointed because, you know, well, one, it was in development hell, and it just became something that was completely different from what people wanted. And with Doom, I was like, okay, are they going to try to reinvent the wheel, or are they just going to go with what they know? And they went with what they knew. They kept a straightforward shooter game, and they didn't overthink it. They just, you know, they obviously, you know, advanced it. The graphics are amazing. A little bit of dialogue in there. It's not super heavy, and like, there's more story if you look into it. Mm-hmm. But on the surface, you know, it's pretty straightforward, just run and gun. And that's what I really loved about that. And yeah, it seems like you're kind of in the same boat as I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people who are playing Doom right now don't really have the context to compare. You know, whether it be, you know, like some personal friends of mine were like, oh, I wasn't allowed to play Doom, or I didn't have a computer or a system to play it on. And so a lot of people are playing Doom for the first time. And, you know, with how competitive the gaming industry is now, it's unless you have that connection to the nostalgia, it's not going to do as much for you as it would another game, like, say, a Call of Duty or something like that.
Right. No, but and at the same time, though, I think there are people out there that haven't maybe played the previous ones that this game would appeal to. It's just maybe fewer and further between, because a lot of people are expecting the more immersive stories that you're used to with the modern shooter. But I think there probably is a good amount of people out there that definitely appreciate the simplicity of this game. And did you play any of the multiplayer at all?
No, especially because I downloaded it. Okay, so funny story. I downloaded it on my PC. My PC can run it perfectly fine. I actually had to have compatibility driver downloaded because I upgraded my computer to Windows 10. Long story short, I played it on the Xbox. So because I'm not a very good console online player, multiplayer, anything, I refrained. If I had played it on the PC, and you know, I probably will eventually, but I can't do multiplayer on console. I just, oh, it's yeah. the thumbstick coordination.
It's an interface issue, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Is you're used to a one controller type.
But, so I'm a campaign girl.
But guard. Right. But having played the multiplayer, though, that was one aspect that I thought it, I can't really think of too many games to compare it to directly, but it was like basically just, you know, an arena style, pick up your health and ammo, and then, you know, just kind of dueling people, you know, run up to them and just kind of shoot each other until one of you dies. But it's not like a straightforward, like, you know, shoot me first, shoot you first. It's very much you encounter each other and you have to dodge each other and everything.
Is it sort of similar to Gears of War, where one side is the swarm and one side is the cogs? Or is it just like everybody is, you know, basically a suit clad, you know, shooter?
It's in the game type I played, and I know there's a few different game types, but I only played the one. It's more of like a straightforward, like, deathmatch type of game type.
Okay.
Except that you do have like bonus powers where you can like power up and become a demon and like, you know, so you are like, you know, a monster coming through, but that was more like a bonus and not necessarily a core mechanic of the versus.
Okay.
But no, and I think that arena type play, because it, you know, kind of harkens back to like the old Quake arena game, you know, versus and like Doom 2 and stuff, is that there are certain people that just like that style, that straightforward, you know, just shoot me, shoot you kind of gameplay. You know, I want to say that they have like loadouts, so to speak, but it's, I don't think there's the same level of customization that you would find in, you know, more modern games. And
yeah,
I want to draw a comparison to like games like Battleborn or Overwatch, but those games are like more involved. I mean, they're more,
yeah, there's like oriented bases to caps, you know, protect the asset, or
yeah. I think it was more the feel and the animation that kind of reminded me of it, like,
yeah,
a lot of smooth running, you know, big jumping, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it kind of felt like that in a sense.
And the movement's really fast. That's one thing that really surprised me, is how well the game could handle such fast movement. Actually, so much to the point that I feel that my character moved too fast, so much to the point, like, if I wanted to do a glory kill, if I walked up to something and started, like, wailing on it, the game would think I was past it, so I would point, like, I would be standing right in front of the demon, and, you know, would go to do a glory kill, and then the demon would like suddenly slide behind me. It was kind of weird. Oh, you know, yeah. Like, and then I'd have to recorrect myself, like, where the fuck am I, like, what am I looking at? And then that was usually actually the situation where I would take the most damage, is, you know, I'm all like haul balling, running up and about to kill someone, looking all badass, and then, you know, I suddenly am like, where is it? I fine kill, looking around me. Ooh. And then I turn around and there's a bunch of things behind me.
You know, oddly enough, I had the opposite happen, where I would be going up and shooting a guy, and I was kind of close to him and like trying to shoot him with a shotgun, and I tend to clinch when I'm close to the enemy, so like, and the melee is the thumbstick. Mm-hmm. So I would come up close to him and all of a sudden I do a glory kill, and I'm like, oh wait, what? Because I didn't realize, like, I was just like pressing down on the button repeatedly, and yeah, then so once his health was low enough, I just immediately did it.
Yeah,
and I didn't have too many times where I like zoomed past him, though. What I hear is, and I know you haven't done it necessarily on the PC, but that with a fast enough computer, you can do up to like 120 frames or something like that.
Yeah, something so beautiful, and I'm very just imaginative. Ridiculous. Yeah, why do I need that many frames?
So you can do slow-mo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true.
Play the game and then replay it back at 30 frames? I bet that would be pretty cool. Like playing, like, you know, 150 frames and then slow-mo.
Well, now you've got me curious.
If you can record in that frame rate, do it, because I bet you that would look pretty cool. Like doing the glory kills in slow-mo.
Actually, that was basically throughout the first two levels. That was almost exclusively all I did. And then I got the chainsaw, and then I would only use the chainsaw against the I can't remember what the name, like the big guys, that the big hulking, like the hulking possessors or whatever. Okay, I would use the chainsaw on them. I have to like punch them a whole bunch of times to get them to stagger. for the most part, I just walk up, like punch it, kill it, glory kill. Like walk up, punch it, glory kill. Like it was really fun, like running around and just like killing things.
Just the so many different ways you could do it. was what was fun for me is like, because each one had their own types of glory kills, mm-hmm. and then each one had a set of glory kills. So like, there was like three or four different ways you could glory kill each guy.
Yeah.
So as you're going through, it's like if you're facing his legs or something, you'll like rip off his legs or something. If you're facing his head, you'll like punch his head out or something.
Oh yeah. So wait, what is your favorite glory kill?
Probably. I can't remember which creature it is, but basically you like rip his horn off and shove it in his mouth.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know if it's actually a horn. It's like a, like just a piece of his head. Like he rips it off and then shoves it in his mouth.
Oh my God.
And that's the kill. Yeah. That's, well, I should say that's one of the ones that stick out most in my memory for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's see. As far in the game, I still really enjoyed any time that he would dismember someone and then kill them with their own arm and or leg. That was just, he'd break it off and then like smack them upside the head and like just blow them to pieces. It was so satisfying.
Oh, yeah. No, that's pretty brilliant. And of course, I mean, when you're not doing the glory kills, the weapon selection is also killer.
Oh, yeah.
And... I remember
when you and I were playing for the stream, you know, I remember where some of the secrets were, but then I played it, you know, separately, I actually found a few more upgrades before you had gotten to any of the upgrades. Now, I know that you weren't exactly paying attention completely, but it was really fun kind of to be like, through, dude, I can upgrade something already? Like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, and I know, like, as I played through, that there was a lot of secrets and a lot of upgrades that I missed just because I was just kind of, you know, just kind of get through the game, just kind of checking everything out. I wasn't necessarily trying to 100% it that playthrough. Now, granted, I'm going back through now and I'm trying to 100% everything and find all the secrets, all the little dolls and all that stuff. So that's fun. And that being said, I mean, it's actually looking to be a pretty easy to 100% game. Like, you know, like find all the secrets, find all the data and, you know, all the upgrades and stuff. Not too terrible.
Yeah. I like, well, and personally, that's how I play a lot of the games. I've established pretty well that, you know, I like to do the monotonous things that amazing. Like it's, you know, I like to farm. I like to craft. I like to, you know, like do that grind. So, you know, like even though I've killed all the demons in the area, I'm going to go around and see if there's any nooks and crannies that I missed because I want, starters, you get a bonus. If you like, you can upgrade things faster if you're a little bit more, you know, explorative in your levels. Like you know, a lot of people like to power through and like, but if you take the time to unlock the achievements, discover the secret areas, you're going to unlock more or like you're going to have access to more points to upgrade stuff. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it benefits you in the long run to take the time.
Yeah. And like with a game like this, like it's one of those types that I like to play through, just kind of get through it and see everything. Or at least, you know, do a run through and then I'll go back through and I'll take my time and I'll probably do it on like a higher difficulty setting as well. And so I'm getting the greater experience with the fights, but then I'm also finding everything at the same time.
Yeah.
But I really like to continue. I'm kind of like you in the sense that I like to do the arduous tasks. Like, I was a big loot caver in Destiny. Like, I spent days just standing in front of that thing, just shooting guys as they were coming out of the cave. And I enjoyed that. That's what I found to be fun.
Yeah.
And, but I like doing that kind of stuff. I like spending the time and, you know, like, another thing I'm doing right now is I'm finishing up 100%ing Fallout. And I don't know if you've done the Far Harbor yet, but there is
I haven't touched that yet. Stuff. It was one of those things where I know that I want to catch my reactions as they are happening on my face, so I need a camera in front of me. But we've been at least at the office, we're trying to figure out studio time and stuff because I'm just so excited. I'm excited, but busy, so it makes being excited a little bit, I guess, enduring.
Yeah. But if you're a completionist or you like doing arduous tasks, there is so much to do in the new content for sure. Mm-hmm. So
I haven't even 100%ed like the original content. I 100% the Automatron add-on. I haven't touched the deathmatch or whatever add-on.
The Wasteland.
Yeah, that
something. Yeah.
But you know, I still taking it back to Doom. It's like when I have the time, I want to go out of my way to collect everything. And have you gotten to I can't remember which the name of the little figurine or the little Doom guy, but I like that when you collect a new one, he does a different, like he interacts with it differently. It's not just like a
different gesture. I've seen two of them so far. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I guess it's a different gesture. It's cool.
Yep. It's a different. I like the one that was, did you ever see Big Hero 6?
Uh-huh.
Big Hero 6, the big thing is like the fist bump and then the blah, 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 like, you know, like flaying out your fingers. And he does that with one of the figurines and it is the coolest. Like I have a GIF on my phone that I look at from time to time that just reminds me that, you know what, even in a wasteland Mars, still plenty of opportunity to be a little bit goofy.
But I don't think in the first Doom there was necessarily anything camp like that, but there were the secrets. But in previous games, though, they had some silly secrets in there, like in the third Doom, I believe it was, like they had a couple of like, you know, developer's notes like hidden in walls and stuff, like little inside jokes and stuff. And I like the fact that there still is that bit of lighthearted nature in the gameplay where, you know, it's not, you know, as secretive. It's just like straightforward. Oh, look, a pretty doll, you know, little cute moment.
Yeah.
And then back to the demon slaying, you know, because it is an extremely gory game. That's another thing that I really appreciate what they did with this game was that they pulled no stops, they pulled out all the stops in that they just went for it and, you know, did the glory kills, did all the blood and the gore, the demonic symbols, the gates to hell. You know, they didn't feel like they had to be reserved. There was no PG in it. You know, they just went all out.
Once they reached that rating M, you know, they were like, well, might as well go all in.
Right. Yeah. And that was one thing that greatly disappointed me, among other things, but especially about the Doom movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you haven't, don't bother.
Isn't that like the big, it's like it had The Rock in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a horrible, I mean, there was everything wrong about it. But one of the biggest things, the thing that bothered me the most about it was they took out the Gates of Hell element. There was no hell. There was no demons. There was a virus and virus monsters. I was like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
It's always been about demons. Like that's
literally
what it's
in the name, Doom. It's like, why would you do that? And like a lot of the things I could have forgiven about that movie, but that was not one. That was
I can from a film standpoint, and I understand having, you know, I mean, not that I've been in, you know, an extravagant amount of movies, but I know a lot of people in Hollywood, and they probably wanted to stay away from the religious connotation, I guess, that it implies.
Yeah, well, no, and I understand that, and that's why I got that. But I think a part of it was they didn't understand their target market, because they were thinking video game movie, kids. And that's what they left it as. So they wanted to make it, you know, PG-13, I believe, is what they went for on that one. And what they needed to go for was the Event Horizon audience, you know, where, I mean, that movie was basically about opening a gate to hell.
Yeah.
You know, so you know that the element exists. It's just that they tried to approach an audience that kind of content was not designed for.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, because of how prolific video games are becoming in modern culture, that they'll kind of separate that whole video games are for kids thing and realize that there is adult content and there's kids content. You know, there's Disney movies and there's action movies. There's monster movies. Not all of it's for kids. And video games need to be looked at in that same light. So when you make a game into a movie, that you can look at it as it's an adult game, so it needs to be an adult movie.
Yeah. They'll never make another Doom, but... Yeah, that one's lost through the ages. And that's, speaking of, you know, video games being turned into movies, you know, I go premiere on the following Monday. Like, next Monday, I'm going to be going to the global premiere of Warcraft, and a lot of critics have already seen it, and they're already tearing it apart. But there have also been other movies in the past that have been torn apart by critics that I absolutely loved. And, you know, as a Warcraft fan, I'm hoping...
I'm on the fence about it. I mean, it looks like a well-put-together movie, but I'm kind of curious about the content. Now, granted, I don't know the Warcraft, you know, lore very well. Like, I hadn't played a Warcraft since it was just called Warcraft.
Yeah.
So I'm not too familiar with it. I know it kind of covers the lore over and overlying and not necessarily a specific game or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious just to see how well the movie is as a movie.
Yeah.
And then secondly, see how well it does justice to the content.
Yeah. Well, and I'm hoping that, you know, by them, they start very beginning, like, because, you know, the first Warcraft was, you know, Warcraft, orcs and humans. So they're starting at the very beginning of, you know, the story of, you know, the first interactions between orcs and humans. And, you know, so I'm going to be hopeful, and I'm always a very positive and optimistic person. So I'm hoping that that won't come back and bite me in the ass.
Yeah. No, we'll see, though. I mean, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about it soon enough and get opinions on it. I know some people that are movie buffs that are, you know, kind of trepidatious about seeing it. And then I know video game fans that are feeling the same way. So,
yeah,
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Our stories are very sacred to us. We are very protective of our stories, our lores, and our video games. Like, we understand that, you know, and hopefully the film companies understand that they are, you know, tapping into an audience that is very guarded. So, they got to be careful.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, so needless to say, Doom the movie, the second worst video game movie ever.
What's the first?
Do you have to ask?
Wait. Is it the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Of course. Yeah, that one still, you know, holds the crown. But as far as games being made into movies and being horribly depicted, Doom is definitely up there.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they got some of the ideas right, you know, like being on Mars and a military guy. The first person bit was kind of shoehorned, but it was cool in its own right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely, you know, we're not going to see anything more from Doom in the theater, I don't think, after that. But
until they decide, you know, 20 years from now to reboot the reimagining of the
Yeah, no, I mean, and that may very well be, or, you know, when minds have forgotten, you know, the previous one.
Do you think they've forgotten the first Fallen Doom? Yes, by now they must have.
I hope The Rock at least has forgotten about it, because, damn. I think he's actually apologized for that movie in the past.
Yep.
But I mean, you know, the movies don't have to be good if the games are, because that's what I really care about. And I mean, I of what you've seen in the game, I mean, what would you say is probably it's the game's weak points? Maybe not specifically, but, you know, including, you know, like general appeal.
I don't know. I don't know if this is me being spoiled from games now. But say I am, you know, facing a certain direction and something's attacking me, like throwing some sort of projectile at me. I don't have an indicator in my HUD, at least at the beginning, that tells me what direction I'm being shot at. So I'm like, turn. Where am I being shot at? And you have to sit there and wait until you're shot at again before you understand where you're being shot from. So, like, you know what I'm talking about, like a little indicator on your, like, little compass that will say, like, you're being shot from the right, and then you turn to your right and you can see where they're at. But when I would say, like, I was doing my normal thing, exploring an area, I was faced off in another direction. you know, the music starts up and I'm like, okay, so that means something's around. And but I continue on my way expecting things to pop up in front of me, but something came from behind me and it was one of those ones that shoots little projectile fireballs. And it was, you know, they like to climb up to high places and then shoot you. And where he was sitting was obscured from my vision. So I didn't know where he was for the longest time. And it was a real pain in my ass.
Yeah, no, I had the same problem too, and I didn't even think about that necessarily, is that you don't have the HUD indicators telling you which way the shots are coming from. Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, you know, that's one of the things that I think is like the major drawback for the game, is that it does keep it basic. And, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because it is nice that it harkens back to that, but it is like, oh, I kind of wish I could tell which way the enemies are coming from.
Yeah.
And I at first I didn't like it, just because I didn't realize what the alternative was. But the fact that I couldn't do reticle aim, like there was no left trigger aim. And I was like, you know, that seems like a core mechanic. But at the same time, you didn't have it in the original Doom. Well, hell, you couldn't even point up or down in the original Doom. But, after getting the upgrades and realizing the left trigger had a new purpose, then I was like, okay, I see where this is going. And so it was kind of, you know, like I said, a little double-edged sword of, you know, it took back or took away something that I really like, but then added in something new that I didn't realize I would like.
Like you said before, the double-edged sword, like having that simplicity be there was really awesome. Like, I really enjoyed being able to just remove myself from any sense of story and just like mindlessly kill things. But at the same time, I did find the left trigger very useful to actually just with my little pistol with its infinite ammo. You know, I'd get up to high places and I'd kill the little possessed.
Oh, because, yeah.
You know, they'd be shambling about like little zombies and I'm just like pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, and once you get that little pistol powered up enough, it actually does some decent damage.
Yeah,
and
it does.
You can take out some, like if you get enough distance between you and the enemy, you can charge it up and take out a few of them before you have to actually use up proper ammo.
Yeah, I think one of the first upgrades that I did was I reduced the cooldown on that so that I could do it faster.
Right. Yeah.
So I as much as I like to get up in their face and like melee attacks, glory kills, I really liked get in that shit, because I know that possessors surrounding one of those little core things, God, what is it called? the big egg thing, what's it called?
Big egg thing?
Yeah, like you dislodge the, like on Mars where you have to dislodge the thing and then it breaks up and explodes and then a bunch of things spawn.
Oh, I don't even remember. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about. So the possessors would be like shambling around this thing, and I know that there's not going to be anything, and then I, you know, destroy the orb egg thing, and then a bunch of things will spawn.
Right.
So, you know, I enjoyed being able to, you know, like, okay, I can sit back and relax. And then when I press this button, all hell breaks loose, literally. And so that's when I open up and, you know, start doing the melee attacks and experimenting with combination gun kills and, raids.
Yeah. No, that's... one of my favorite ones is it's on the shotgun and the assault rifle, where it's like basically you hold the left trigger and like projectiles power up and then it fires like six shots at them. Like the shotgun is just like four like power shot or six like power shots, and then the assault rifle it's like six little rockets that blow up when it touches them.
Yeah,
those I like those because those are like a nice little supplement to like the standard gun when you're trying to take out an enemy that's running you down.
Yeah, I really like that. I know that I just barely touched the surface on gun selection and upgrading and mods and things like that. So, I mean, that's one aspect I have to look forward to going forward in the gameplay. But I mean, boy, do they know how to make fun gameplay involving guns.
Yeah, well, and it seemed like the advanced weapons mechanics were not necessarily an afterthought, but it wasn't the first thing they focused on. Like, you can tell, like, their first intent was to make, you know, the core gameplay of running around and shooting guys and eviscerating them, and the animations involved was like their main focus. And then they're like, okay, let's see what we can do to add to weapons abilities and armor abilities and stuff like that. So that, you know, they kept it simple, like I said, and then added on, like, you know, kind of put icing on the cake, as it were, to add to the experience. So it wasn't just playing the original Doom with better graphics. You actually did have some advancements in there.
Well, and it's also like, you know, like starting with something very basic and building on top of it slowly but surely, so you realize as you advance through the game that, you know, like, oh man, I remember when I started out and I just had this pistol, you know, like, like taking you back to give you some sort of like an odd sense of reflection, you know, like, back in my day 2 hours ago I only had one gun.
Well, and I like those style of, you know, Metroidian games, to where as you play through the game, you're able to build up, like, gain new abilities that give you more control over your environment, whether it be like weapons or something, you know, like being able to double jump or, you know, having key cards to get to new doors and everything. I really love that element in those style of games, to where, you know, your advancement depends on you acquiring these things. Some of them you don't have to get, but some of them you do, and all of them make it, you know, much easier to get through the game. And then by the end, and I'm kind of curious, 'cause, you know, after playing enough, you know, once you've gotten all the upgrades and all the abilities and everything, if you just become like this, you know, OP character, or if it's still kind of balanced towards the end, like if you play on the highest setting with everything, you know, will it still be a very difficult experience, or is it going to be a bit easier? To throw back to the comparison of like Fallout, I've been playing Far Harbor, but I'm a level 100 with the most powerful weapons at the max mod. And so fighting like the big bad boss in Far Harbor wasn't difficult at all. Now, granted, I'm not, you know, I'm not implying that it wasn't unfun, but it wasn't difficult. Like, you know, even on a high difficulty setting, it wasn't that bad because I was just so overpowered.
I don't want to brag or anything, but I'm too awesome for anything to be difficult for me.
But, you know, and given with Doom, like, there's no, like, levels or anything, so there is a finite amount of advancement you can do. So you're going to reach a cap, a threshold of advancement. So I wouldn't imagine that would be the case, but I'm kind of interested to see just how far you can get ability-wise, like, through the game.
Yeah. Well, and that's why they give you multiple campaign slot options, so that you can dive right in and have as much fun as possible.
Yeah, and try your luck in various ways, for sure.
I feel like that's so uncommon with games now, to have game slots. I mean, to have multiple save files for one game, because it was always like, you want to play? Have your friends pay for a game, and you can play together. Let them borrow it, or whatever. It's just now it's like, Justin wants to play, and, you know, hey, fine, that'll work. And Ian wants to play, okay, fine, cool, that'll work. Played on mine.
Everybody has
fine.
their own play slot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was definitely much more prevalent in the era of game of memory cards, where like you had a slot, a designated slot that you saved to, you know, regardless of what game it was, you could save so many slots, and each person could have their own set amount. It's like, oh, this is my memory card with my game saves, and it doesn't matter whose disc it is. And now it's all tied to your, you know, gamer tag or your, you know, PlayStation Plus profile or your, you know, Steam account. And so it's less common to see that. Like in, I've, you know, been replaying Final Fantasy X.
Which one? You've got a few options.
Yeah, well, I'm playing 7 as well, but that one I'm not playing as much right now. But 10 was the one I was thinking of. And with that one, and I think this is more a PlayStation thing than it is necessarily the game itself, but, like, I can save as many game slots as I want. Like, I can start a whole new gameplay and, like, you know, and then set a whole new slot in But, you know, with other games, you can't really do that. You can't set multiple saves on it. It's all tied to your gamer tag.
Yeah.
So it's like if you got a save on your gamer tag, that's it. And then once you start new, you started new.
Yeah.
But
it also makes it, you know, super easy to, you know, with things that being backed up on the quote unquote cloud or whatever, you can go to someone right. else's system. And if they happen to have the game, you can download your save file and play it on their system. Right. So there's always a double-edged sword on and all fronts everywhere forever. You can't get away from that double-edged sword.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of give and take for sure. But and at the same time, like there are a lot of games that are like, you know, the 8 to 20 hour game, which is the focus isn't the campaign, it's the multiplayer, you know, like with Call of Duty and stuff. And with those, it's like once you beat it once, it's not really a vested game. Like you could get to the fifth level and it's like, you know what, I feel like playing the eighth level now. And it isn't a loss or a gain in any way. It's not like, you know, Fallout or and even Doom to some respects, you know, where as you play, you gain stuff, you acquire things. So you have to have a save to get through to make sure that you've collected everything in that playthrough.
Yeah.
Some games don't really need it. So I can see why it's not necessarily on every game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now I know you're not the biggest Xbox player, but you did play it on the Xbox.
I did.
Did you get many achievements?
Or,
are you interested in achievements at all on it?
I'm not an achievement hoarder, although I do get a small sense of satisfaction whenever I get one. Even though I basically did almost every secret and every, you know, mod/discovery you could do in the first two levels, I didn't get any achievements. At least as far as I know, and usually there's a pretty obvious indicator saying you got an achievement.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, I did get a lot of achievements in the game, you know, like that you can go look at in the I may have missed them because, you know, I was caught up in doing gameplay capture and also caught up in, you know, what was going on in the game. And there have been times in many games where I've, you know, achieved something and I go back and I look at my achievements. And I'm like, I did that. So,
at the same time, I mean, this is not one of those games that you would get a lot of achievements right away.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most of the achievements are like completionist achievements, like, you know, get all the collectibles. I believe one of the earlier achievements I got was do 200 glory kills.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that all the achievements are, like,
you know, a certain number of something, doing something a certain way, or...
Yeah, it's all collection achievements. Except for the beat a level on Ultra Nightmare and then complete the whole level. And I got the achievements pulled up right now, and it's like, 200 glory kills, 100 explosive barrel kills, fully upgrade everything, find all the runes. You know, so it's like literally like you would have to play through almost the whole game, if not the whole game, in order to get most of these achievements. You know, some of them, it's like, you know, the multiplayer one. Yeah. You know, obviously you just, you know, beat a couple people and you win that one. And then there's a handful of ones where it's like, do certain milestones. It's not like in the old days where like every level you beat, you got an achievement. With this, it's like, there's only, looks like four like milestone achievements, like, you know, warp to hell. Like once you go through the portal, you get an achievement for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, but
I like that we keep referring to the old times in the old days.
Well, I mean, we're old school gamers. I mean, we've been playing since the 80s.
Yep. Since I was this many.
you've been playing as long as I could get your fingers to touch the buttons.
I've been playing about, you know, for the majority of my life. I mean, I've been a gamer for longer than I've been a woman or basically anything in my life longer than shoes, read or write.
Yeah. I would say I remember us playing the original Doom, but we never played Doom on console. I played Doom on the PC a little bit, but we only had Wolfenstein on the console. Because we had that for Super Nintendo, if I remember correctly. And I know I had that for some time, and I know that was probably one of the games I tried to get you to play when you were like, you know, four or something. You could barely articulate, but, you know, I was trying to get you to run and shoot things.
Yep. I do remember vividly playing, and I know that this is like a really kind of little fun rivalry, but I remember playing Duke Nukem, you know, often.
Oh, yeah.
That one I do remember playing a lot.
Yeah, that was always a fun one. I remember Dad liked that one, just because of the dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's very, like, and still, Dad still quotes that exact same Duke Nukem game. I mean, like, even if a new Duke Nukem game comes out, or a movie or anything like that, he's still always going to quote that original game, because Dad just doesn't know how to let a joke die.
Yeah. Well, and that's the classic. You know, you can't beat Duke Nukem.
But it's like, you know, that's just kind of our dad as well, because he still tells the exact same joke. We were like, oh my God, I don't even want to talk about that stupid snake bite joke. And the, you know, does your face hurt? And yeah, oh, it's killing me. And it's just like, Dad, come on. It's like, yeah.
Well, they don't call them dad jokes for nothing.
But I mean, usually like dad jokes happen once or twice and then they stop, but Dad still tells them with the exact same enthusiasm that he told them 20 years ago, and he still laughs at them.
Yeah, he has his repertory.
Yeah, that man. Well, okay. Fortunately and unfortunately, fortunately and unfortunately, you know, Doom, although being a very simple game, also makes it a really simple game for talking and discussion. So it's just like,
oh, yeah. And it's, you know, kind of like a hangout party game where like one person could be running through and other people just watch what's happening in it. And yeah. It's not something that the person playing has to be all that focused about. Like,
yeah,
if the volume's not on, you're not missing that much.
And yeah.
So it is kind of a, to some respect, like a social game. Like it's one that could be entertaining for more than one person and not.
Well, and I remember going back to when you said, well, I'm going to replay the campaign so I can, you know, find out what's going on. And then when I played the campaign by myself, I was like, even if you pay attention to everything, you still don't know what's going on, really.
Oh, yeah. It's still minimal dialogue for sure.
It's so perfect.
Yeah, and I knew that was going to be the case, but it's like, you know, I just wanted to catch those little things that people were talking about or little things. It's like, I remember Doom 3 actually had like a build-up. Like there was kind of an opening sequence of the guy arriving on the planet, and then things were like all normal, like when he first arrives, and the gates of hell didn't open up until like, you know, 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
And in this one, it was like, hit the ground running. It's like, you are here, demons, go.
Yeah.
and I was like, I don't know how I feel about that, but I was like, it's Doom. Yeah, no, this feels right.
Yeah, I really do like that, you know, the opening. And one thing that I really did enjoy is the music, when the music would start up, and, you know, also indicated that someone has, you know, spawned, or, you know, someone's coming after you. The music really did a really good job. Yeah, they did a really good feel like I was a badass. Like I was like, oh yeah, ready to punch some faces. Gonna like tear off some limbs and shove people into like, you know, surfaces and like throw them off cliffs and
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that kind of added to the feel of it, which like the original Doom, like the music was kind of lacking.
Oh, yeah.
It was there. But I mean, it was, I guess it was kind of fitting for what the game was and how new it was. You know, it was a whole new ball game. Like 3D games, first person shooters just were not a thing really until Doom.
Yeah.
But then you got into like, you know, Quake, and you know, you have the likes of Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor making the soundtrack for it.
Yeah.
And then like you get into like serious, like, you know, music action, where like when the action's happening, the music is happening as well. And but yeah, I'm with you on it though. Like Doom definitely hit the mark with music appropriate to the action, for sure.
Absolutely. I'm a very, when it comes to video games, I'm very musically swayed. So, you know, in one regard, if people are like, oh yeah, the gameplay sucked, the UI was the worst, and I'm like, but it had nice music. And then they're like, go home, Pam, you're drunk.
And that's one of the things that always keeps me coming back to Final Fantasy.
Is the music.
They never fail with the music. I mean, the plot could fall short. The gameplay could be disappointing, but the music is just always there.
Yep, absolutely. And that's still, to this day, one of the major influences. Like, aside from video games and aside from art, music is, you know, for both of us, because we were raised in a very musically inclined household, that was, you know, it's very much a part of our lives, and for it to seep into our gameplay is just, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I always like good music in games, especially when it's fitting for the game and gameplay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you see it more often than not anymore, just because, like, they're treating games like they are a proper big-budget production, which they proper are now. So they pay good composers and, you know, brilliant musicians to make the score, make the music, you know, whatever needs to be done for it. And so it often comes out really good. I honestly, like, now that I think about it, I can't really think of a game recently that didn't have good music to it. Maybe not spectacular, maybe not mind-blowing, but it was never like, oh, this music sucks. You know, I can't recall thinking that recently.
Yeah. Well, and the only time that's ever come into mind, and you know, I don't want to, you know, put any sort of indie games on blast, but the only time that's ever happened in my case is indie games where, you know, they maybe don't have a music guy or whatever, so they put, like, the same riff on loop for a certain area.
Oh, yeah.
And so it can get a little repetitive.
Yeah, but it's like you said, it's like that's when it becomes a budgetary issue, then, you know, it's a completely different topic. It's not necessarily for the lack of trying, it's just they don't have the resources. But I mean, even that being said, it's like one, you know, a game that we did on the show earlier this year, Undertale, you know, that was an independent game, and that had some of the best music I've heard since the 8-bit era. You know, it's just very, very, very sublime, and just so catchy. Like, half the music in the game, like, just sticks in your head like peanut butter. And like, that's what makes really good music. Like, you know, with the Doom music, it's like you remember the experience as a whole, which I think in and of itself is a good thing, that it all fit together so well that you just remember the music, the gameplay, and everything you did and how well it fit together. And then there's a game like Undertale where it is like, the gameplay was super simple. It was very creative, but it was, you know, very simplistic. But the music is what will stick with me. Like, that's what I'll remember of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I honestly, I can't think of any particular game. I don't play all that many indie games, so I can't really say much to it. But I can't think off the top of my head of any games that stand out as far as, like, the music being not quite as good. But I know, maybe iDarb. I remember that music being annoying, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, that would probably be the one that stands out in my head right now. Yeah. But other than that, though, you know, it's not too often that the music. Now, granted, there's plenty of games that the music's underwhelming. But none that I thought were, like, just proper bad. But at the same time, I'm a relatively, you know, positive person when it comes to, you know, how I describe my experiences. So I you know, really can't say there's too many games that I considered bad in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are some. But I don't know. Maybe it's just I'd rather talk about games like Doom, because you know, it's a fun experience and I like to talk about the things that I appreciate about it. And
yeah,
as a previous guest described Amari, he's like, you know, we do like this game, but no game is perfect. And we do have to bring up, you know, what maybe is lacking about it. And yeah. You know, I think we kind of covered that, you know, this time around, but it's like, it is kind of a most, for the most part, it is kind of a, you know, oh, what's so great about this? And
yeah.
And at the same time, I mean, you know, a game like Doom, there really isn't much to the story, so there's not much to talk about there. And
yeah.
So it is more just, you know, it's a fun game to play. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I feel that the nostalgia factor was a huge magnifier for me. It definitely enhanced the gameplay because I had something to look back on, you know, positive experiences growing up. And, you know, I feel that.
Yeah. And it had those familiar elements that definitely sent that home too.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's not a perfect, enjoyable. And, you know, if it was any sort of referral system, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, no, and I mean, same here. I mean, it was well worth the money, you know, for buying it. And anybody that is, you know, looking to play something that's, you know, simple and fun, that's, it definitely fits that category. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and anybody that knows the series knows not to, but I would tell everybody to not expect an in-depth story. It's like,
yeah,
you're on Mars, you opened a gate to hell, demons, go. You
yeah.
know, and that's pretty much it. And then they just throw in dialogue, you know, to kind of keep it going. But I mean, that's pretty much it. It's not, it's not like a space opera, like Mass Effect or something, where there is this whole, you know, overlying, you know, world and, you know, espionage and intrigue and
yeah. All that to stuff. Me, just, Doom is a game that you take out aggression, like frustration from work or relationships. You just load up Doom and you just annihilate some demons and it'll make you feel real good afterwards. So let it be a cathartic gaming experience for you.
Oh yeah, and it's just that it definitely is simple fun. It just eviscerate some demons, cut them in half with a chainsaw, very graphically. Oh my god,
very, very much so.
Yeah, it's all that was every time. I mean, even still, like playing it now, it's like after, you know what, 20 hours of playing it, I'm every time like that chainsaw comes out and they just spill out ammo and everything as they're being cut in half, I'm just like, oh, this is brilliant.
Well, then also giving you that bonus of, you know, dropping tons of ammo if you use your chainsaw.
Right. Yeah. Well, and That actually was something I didn't even think about. That is kind of a unique element to how you use your weapons, because like you do the glory kills, you get more of whatever it drops. Like it's typically health, but you get more health if you do the glory kills. And then if you do chainsaw kills, you get a bunch of ammo. So like you go through running, gunning, doing some glory kills and everything. It's like always be sure to throw in glory kills whenever you can. Once you get low on ammo, break out the chainsaw, use it once, maybe twice, and then go back to your weapons until you find more chainsaw, you know, fuel. Mm-hmm. And I liked the way it was like ammo preservation without actually making you preserve anything.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, ammo management. You know, it's like you don't have to properly manage it, but you just kind of have to know how to cycle it and, you know,
there's
work
definitely
around
a
it.
Cycle.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like a game like Resident Evil where it's like, I have 3 bullets and 20 zombies. Okay, how do I do this? You know, it's like you definitely have plenty of ammo, but there is a system that makes it flow, you know, and all like, so you're not hunting for ammo at any given time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all in all, though, I mean, the game worked and I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah,
and I know you did too.
And Marzi and Shooty and Doll-E.
Please do, like, I don't know. I might try. Actually, no, I don't know. I don't have it on PC, so I can't. But please do, once you get it going on PC, like, get some footage in like the high frame rates and all the textures turned on and everything like that, so we can see it in that full you know, glory that is the PC version of the game.
I will.
And I've said this many times, is, you know, PC has its disadvantages, but it also has its advantages. And mm-hmm. one of those is graphics capabilities. Like,
hashtag PC mess race.
if you have the right computer, a game is 10 times better looking on it than it would be on a console.
Fallout, you know, like, I've watched someone play it on the Xbox and I go back on my PC and it's like, it almost hurts my eyes to watch someone play it on a console. It's so much prettier on a PC.
Well, it's so much prettier on a $3,000 PC.
Stop it.
on my desktop PC, I wouldn't be able to play Fallout. and that is basically my core argument is, if you can't afford anything more than $500, you're better off getting a console. But if you can spend the money, PC is where it's at as far
as quality. It's an investment. Yeah, it's an investment towards an experience that you want to enjoy as best as you can. So if you
absolutely.
If you put that money in, you're definitely going to see the benefit.
Oh, yeah, you are going to get your money's worth, absolutely. And I do not contest that at all, for sure. I'm interested to see Fallout 2, actually, now that I think about it. But Doom, definitely, just because I heard about the ridiculous frame rates that you'd be able to get out of it with a really good video card.
Yeah. I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, please do. And we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. I think we've had plenty to say about the game. I'm sure we have a bit more, but always like to leave it with a bit to be desired.
Yeah. And also, you can leave the option open that if, you know, anybody listening has any comments or things that we missed, you're more than welcome to reach out to us via Twitter. Create a discussion. I'm always there to talk about any gaming experiences you've had playing Doom, or if you want to ask about anything that I've had or Mikey had, you know, you're more than welcome to reach out to us.
Right. Yeah. And I'll definitely, like, in the post, like, if you're looking at this on the website, there's links right next to the recording that you can click on that'll take you to basically everyone involved in all the Twitters and, you know, the YouTubes and stuff. So do check that out. But thank you, Pam, for joining me.
Yep, it's what I do.
It's been a pleasure talking and gaming with you. Doom is definitely a marvelous experience. And I was glad I was able to share with you that the one stream and then be able to talk with you about it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you for being on, and I'm sure I'll have you on again soon. Rumor has it might do an Overwatch episode.
That's gonna be the longest episode. Oh my god, it's I'm already level 20 on Overwatch. I've been putting a lot of time into it.
But the hype is strong with that one. So now with the new format, there will be a buffer between when the game's released and when an episode is on it. So it'll probably be a couple months, but. That's definitely considered in the pipe, so we might cover that in a couple few months. And I'll definitely, because I know how serious you are on it, I'll definitely have you on. And we can talk about that one as well, for sure.
All right.
But thank you, Pam, and have a good night.